It's Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with the third installment of our winter book series. Today we'll turn to poetry with Jesus Correa, whose latest book, Iced Cream, is published by Zombie Logic, a Rockford firm that calls itself the most dangerous small press in America. Jesus Correa, welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you, Dan. Nice to meet you.
You wear many different hats. You're a visual and performing artist who, in 2009, ran for mayor of Rockford. You also do stand-up comedy, and you have a day job as you call it, the world's best dishwasher. We could talk all day about those other things, but I'd love to focus on your poetry today, which is raw, more Allen Ginsberg than Billy Collins. When you sit down and write a poem, what do you want the reader to take away from it?
I'm generally not thinking about a reader at all. I'm just kind of getting it out of my body, and I guess that's my problem. Relating to people is not my strong suit. So I just kind of put this out there, and if it makes people uncomfortable, it's just kind of what happens, I suppose. But people like it, but there's definitely certain people. Like my mom, there's no way I would let her read it. Although we've gotten a bit of a fight about it, I guess, for her not showing up to my reading, but it's not for her or for everybody, I guess.
Yeah, and of course, there are a few poems that we should mention in this book that are certainly not meant for children.
No, not at all. I've had a couple of people say they wanted to get one for their kid, I guess, just because the name Ice Cream seems kind of friendly and, you know, but it's not.
It has a nice pink cover,
yeah,
too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sure. Well, let's hear one from your book, Iced Cream. Okay. I'd like you to read A Man Telling His Son He Is Going to Die. Go ahead and introduce it, and we'll talk after that.
It's pretty straightforward. This is just a man telling his son he's going to die. Your daddy is going to die, Joey. Your daddy is going to die, and you're not going to have a daddy anymore, Joey. I said to my son, whose name was Joey. Good, he said. I'm very excited. That sounds great to me. He began marching around our living room, mimicking the act of playing a trombone. After your mother killed herself, I began slowly poisoning myself by putting a tiny amount of arsenic in my tea each morning. From what I understand about arsenic, I am in the beginning throes of death, my boy. Yes, dear Joey, your daddy is not long for this world, I said to my 4-year-old son who stood there in his pajamas, clapping his hands enthusiastically, chanting, No more daddy! No more daddy! That's right, Joey. No more daddy. You're going to be an orphan, buddy. You're going to have to learn to fend for yourself, and that's going to be very hard for you, because you're dim-witted and repulsive to look at. You're probably going to end up with a terrible, crippling drug habit if you don't starve to death first. Your daddy's going to die, and I'm afraid, my son, that there's no hope for you, I said to my son as he jumped up and down on the couch, joyously soaring and cackling, saying things like, I cannot wait to not have a daddy. I cannot wait until you die. No more daddies forever. He was pissing his pants, and he was pleased as punch, and frankly, so was I. Today was the greatest day that I have ever known. Thank you, Jesus.
A Freudian psychologist might have fun with this poem, analyzing it, about a son gleefully applauding news that his father's dying. But I also detect you having fun with the notion that a father might want to leave his child permanently, if only to show the kid how important a dad is.
Sure.
How much was this a part of your thinking when you created this poem?
They just kind of come out, so I'm trying to think of what I was exactly thinking when this is coming out of me. I don't have the greatest relationship with my parents. Once I came out, I was kind of out. My dad was excited when I was a little boy, and then as he got to know me, he kind of, we're just not compatible people. He ditched me at Disney World once. As an adult.
For how long?
I was a grown man at this time, but he went and sat in the car. He said, I'm just going to go and sit in the car now for a couple hours while you just wander around Disney World by yourself. And I did, and I took my time, but it was a little disheartening. But, I mean, yeah, he's my dad, but he doesn't like me, and I don't particularly like him, I guess, is the thing. So it's okay to let those kind of things go.
According to your Facebook page, you have at least one child, a daughter. Am I correct?
No. Oh, no, I don't. I have no children.
Sorry.
I'm very playful with the reality. And the
I
truth.
See. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I don't remember even saying that. I don't think I have a daughter.
Let's just assume for the moment that you don't. But, you know, we were talking about interpreting this poem, and one of the funny things about abstract art like poetry is that interpretations can vary so much depending on each audience member, you know, and the experience they bring to the poem. Which leads me to ask, which is more satisfying for you as an artist, an interpretation that comes close to what inspired the work or something that you never even imagined?
I'm always curious what people's take and spin on my things is. I like people just kind of taking it and running with it and doing something that I would not think to do with. My intentions are kind of vague even to me, I suppose, so it's interesting to see people's take on it, I guess. It gives me kind of a perspective on myself that I don't have on my own. When I'm working on something, I'm going through all kinds of things in my head that I guess come out in there, but I'm not forcibly trying to put any kind of message, or I don't have any kind of agenda generally. I'm just kind of, it's my therapy.
Is there an artist working in any medium with an either international reputation or a local reputation whose work you admire and maybe you think inspires your own work?
Off the top of my head, I guess it would be Charles Schulz. There's just that really heavy, this melancholy that's always there, like throughout whatever he's doing. There's just a sadness there. And I guess it's not the most you know, refined art form, the comic strip, but it's a part of him, and you can tell it's in there and all of his characters and things, especially the Charlie Brown one. And just, I want that for myself, to have that certain, very specific voice that you just put to me, I guess. I'd like to have that at some point for myself. So it's Charles Schulz.
Jesus Correa is the author of Iced Cream at WNIJ.org. You can hear him read another poem from his collection. Jesus Correa, thanks very much.
Thank you, Dan.